Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
F-I-I-E-N-D-S. Jen's Friends.
Just Friends.
Sure, we may as well. We're all here. It is time for a bit of Jen's Friends. And this is, it's a time to reflect on the best stories that listeners were in touch about this week. All kinds of stuff. It's kind of like, it's like the Angelus, but it's earlier and it's full of daft stories instead of praying and that kind of stuff. And this week, I will be praying on comedian Ed Salmon and Martin Worthington from the Department of Near and Middle Eastern Studies at TCD. What a crew.
Hello.
What a crew.
Bong.
How are you? Are you well?
Not too bad, yeah.
Are you over the Halloween season?
Oh, absolutely. Working through all the candy that the kids didn't eat.
Yeah. Did you go trick-or-treating?
We went trick-or-treating for about 10 minutes and then Luke got very annoyed.
Okay.
That he was outside dressed in a very thin deluxe Jedi outfit.
Fair play to him.
Not just a regular Jedi, deluxe Jedi.
Very good. Was this his first time trick-or-treating?
His first time trick-or-treating.
Lottie took Wolf, she's a two-year-old, trick-or-treating.
Oh, yeah.
And he was very confused. He just kept walking into strangers' houses because he thought that's what you do. Was in like randomers' sitting rooms going, come on, edge come, but he kept doing it.
If you're curious about your neighbours' houses, just like, run in there, I need to see their extension.
It does kind of seem like ages ago, but it was only on Tuesday. But we were talking about paranormal experiences. We got all spooky on Halloween and we got loads of texts in and people have experienced all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah.
Martin, what is the closest you or any of your pals have come close to a ghostly encounter? Or tell me.
Good morning, Jen. Well, as regards Halloween, I still have plenty of cobwebs in my flat, but they were there before Halloween and will keep on being there for several months, so I don't think that counts. One thing I find admirable about spooks and similar phenomena is how people manage to make money out of them, even though they probably don't exist. There was the Ghostbusters film, there's all sorts of books and everything. There's even a ghost bus in Dublin, which I saw this morning. It says, get on if you dare. And the windows are all blacked out, and I presume that's so that we can't see the terrified faces of the customers whitened inside. But the closest I've ever come was probably thanks to McDonald's when I was about 12. I think it was probably Ghostbusters 2 had just appeared.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a special meal deal which included a tin can with a ghost in it. And it said, beware, if you open the can, the ghost will escape and you'll see nothing. And of course I knew there wasn't really anything there, but I waited one day, 2 days, 3 days, and eventually it became irresistible. So I duly opened the can and there was nothing there and I felt very badly cheated. But I can tell you another story, which is lots of people saw a ghost at my grandfather's funeral. It looked just like him, and I don't understand why they didn't go up to him and talk to it or try and put their finger through it. And what's really interesting about this story is that normally the human imagination relegates ghosts to far away, distant, dark places. It was a dark and stormy night. Mm-hmm. You don't have ghosts walking down the street at 12 noon because that's just ridiculous.
And they're never in a pair of Air Max in a, shiny tracksuit. They're always from years and years and years and years and years ago.
They're always like little Dutch girls from like 17th century Holland. They're never like someone from the 90s wearing bell-bottom jeans listening to Oasis on a CD Walkman, which has also died and come back to life.
Yes, never.
Or come back as a ghost.
But there's a sting in the story's tale, right? But I'm just digressing to say it's interesting how we sort of limit our imagination so that certain kinds of stories work and certain don't. And so my grandfather's story was slightly atypical. But what these people didn't know is that Grandad had his brother, Uncle Gerald, who was the spitting image of himself. And so that's who people had actually seen, but they didn't realise. So had they actually tried and put their finger through him, then the whole thing would have collapsed straight away, but they didn't.
Okay. I'm glad you've cleared that up because I was getting really into that story. I was getting a bit scared now. I was into it on Tuesday. We had some callers on and they were telling us about these haunted houses they've been at, weird things happening in at night time, and there was one ghost that was trying to kill someone's sister and it was very creepy. But you had a creepy tractor.
Oh yeah.
A haunted tractor.
Well, it wasn't me. It was a friend of mine who, sometimes your friends tell you things and you kind of go, all right, I would normally take everything you say to be true, but this sounds like you're a crazy person making this up. They were on a country road, I think it was in Forbann, County Offaly, and they saw a tractor coming slowly up the road. And then when the tractor got closer, they saw that there was no one driving the tractor. And they went, huh? And the tractor kept going for a little bit and then slowed down and stopped completely. And I was like, that's just someone drove a tractor and then jumped off into a ditch and is like giggling in a ditch somewhere going, hoo-hoo. Because how can ghosts operate machinery? Because the one documentary I saw on a ghost, I know he kicked a can in a subway, did Patrick Swayze. So I know the can, like...
That's very true.
Yeah. But I'd love to see a ghost. I've gone on ghost tours.
Have you?
I've gone on the ghost bus tour.
He's been on that bus, Martin. He was on that bus.
I was nearly knocked down by it one day, which would have been an ironic death. Maybe people would have laughed. Hit, killed by a ghost bus. But I've never seen one. I really desperately would love to see one because to me, it's kind of like proof of an afterlife, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the waiting room of an afterlife. I think maybe if you are a ghost, you've probably done something that you know, the whole unfinished business thing. But the closest I ever came to a ghost personally was when we used to have a turf shed at the bottom of the old house and the light was off and I'd have to run down in the dark and get turf and I'd do it as quickly as possible because I was so scared. And I stood up with the bag of turf and I could hear this like behind me. I could feel the presence and just this and I ran. I didn't look back and I was like, oh, there's a ghost in the shed. And then my older brother, I told him this story and he said he had the same experience. But I think it was probably just a cat with asthma or something.
Maybe.
I don't think it was an actual ghost. Because if it was an actual ghost, like if you came back as a ghost, you wouldn't go.
You might.
Unless you're
they
like,
do that. Yeah, apparently.
If you're drinking ghost lilt or something and it's quite refreshing, hits the spot.
Okay, so it sounds like you're a believer. You really want to see a ghost. Martin, you're the skeptic, I would say.
Well, I don't know if I believe in them, but I'm afraid of them.
Okay, fair enough. Yes, yes. You don't want it to be true. Because then you'd never sleep on your own ever, ever again. Yeah. On Wednesday, listeners told us about parties that happened to them. Okay. So, Martin, how did you end up in a German party?
Ah, yes. Well, first of all, can I just put in a caveat? I mean, the British COVID inquiry has been hearing from somebody who goes by the name Party Marty. So as somebody whose name is Martin, I feel slightly uncomfortable with the whole topic of parties at the moment.
I thought that was Marty Morrissey's like nickname. Everywhere he goes, it's a party, Marty.
It is a party.
Yes, I just don't want to be confused with him at all. But no, parties, I've got several cringeworthy stories about parties. So when I was 20-odd, I went to study in Germany for year. And being, you know, someone who sits fairly comfortably on the spectrum, I was there to learn German, so that's what I was going to do. So the whole idea of talking English to people was anathema to me. But I was living in the Students' Hall of Residence for Foreigners, and their idea of talking German all day was anathema to them, because they wanted to relax in the evenings. And so when I met my flatmate, there was two of us in the same flat, he came from Oklahoma, I think he was called John, we sort of quickly established that we had fairly different ideas of how to live our lives, and that was the end of that. So in the evening, I'd come back to the flat, and there'd be a party in full swing with lots of smoking and alcohol, which were things I wasn't interested in. So I would go straight into my room and dutifully and severely read my German books while they had the time of their lives. And this got louder and louder until finally one evening I was in the lift and I think the girl was actually Irish. She had this wonderful musical accent and she sort of tried to talk to me and I sternly replied in German and she replied to me in English, which I refused to listen to. And there was something going on. I was sort of trying to get the message across that these parties were getting a little too loud. Anyhow, finally, when I made my remonstrations to one of the attendees because I couldn't find John, their reply was, Martin, John's in America. He's been there for a week. And so, of course, he'd left them his key and the parties had been getting louder and louder. But so tenuous were relations between us, I hadn't even realised he wasn't there. So I felt a bit of an idiot on that particular occasion. But there's another one, which is probably even more of an idiot, but I'll let Ed tell us his experiences before I go into that.
Ed, apparently you found yourself in a vent in your own home, but pretty similar to Martin, I would say.
Yeah, not a party, but I lived, well, it was kind of a wake. But it was a one-man wake for Stephen Gately, who had sadly passed away, whenever that was. I don't know. But I came home and my flatmate, who was a little bit of a... He would have people over without asking. He was chain-smoking cigarettes in the sitting room, blasting no matter what. So I came in and no matter what, it was like blasting. And I just wanted a glass of water, but you had to walk through the sitting room to get to the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in and he had like both windows open behind him, chain smoking, listening to this on a loop, crying and just going, it's so sad. Stephen is gone. And I was like, yeah. Shame. Awful shame. I'm just getting a glass of water. And he just kind of kept me there for 20 minutes. You know when there's never a sort of a natural break in the conversation mm-hmm. where you can go, anyway. I'm going to leave now. He's like, he was so young. Yeah, the good die young, I guess. Huh? Anyway, good night.
Oh, he was and, so sad. Yeah,
and then he was eventually kicked out for not paying rent.
Okay,
and
fair
the locks
enough.
Were changed. So, I mean, it really affected him. That grief went on to a point where he couldn't pay his rent. You know,
that's severe grief. That is terrible grief.
So that was a sad party.
That was a very sad party. That is really terrible. So do you enjoy parties, Martin? Is this something that you would or would you actively avoid?
I might answer that with an example.
Go on.
Give me a male sounding name, because this story involves a friend of mine who I think ought to remain nameless. Chad. Excellent.
I was going to go with Jeff.
So this goes back to when I was at university and I was in my very serious phase, which thankfully over the years has slightly softened. So Chad, a wonderful, wonderful man, very fragile in many respects. And your more discerning viewers will be able to sort of work out that this story, if you push it far enough, strays into realms of the uncomfortable. But he was still is a very nice man. We're still friends. And he had far too much money, rich family. And he splashed this about in order to buy popularity. So he lived in another house that I was in on a different floor, and I knew him and we chatted, and I was fond of him, and he was very endearing. He had this habit of asking you a really profound question, like, you know, Jen, what do you feel the most special moment in your life has been? And he'd kind of wait for you to go, well, and then he'd go, right, and that would be the end of your answer. That's one of my favourite Chad moments. Anyhow, it was very obvious that Chad, you know...
I feel I picked the wrong name as the story goes on. Go on.
He had this coterie of hangers-on. And had he been dishing out books on ancient Assyria, I dare say that I'd have been first in line. But he was dishing out cigars and brandy. And these were things I wasn't particularly interested in. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, there was his birthday coming up. And he was going to invite all his coterie of hangers-on to an expensive London restaurant. And he wanted me to go with him. And I really, really, really didn't want to go to this party. It sounded dreadful.
Yeah.
There were all these people who were smoking his cigars and drinking his brandy, and I just thought it wasn't going to be nice. But he managed to extract a promise from me that I'd go. And being in my very serious phase, having given my word, I felt I had to. Mm-hmm. But I went under duress. So I eventually arrived, and I made a point of showing up, I don't know, 20 minutes late. And this room full of people sitting round the table, and you had the impression that they were practicing to become members of some sort of the elite. It was horrible. And Chad, as we'll call him, was sitting up at the top, drunkenly falling over the person on his left and his right alternately. And the rest of us were sort of left there to get on and pretend to be important or something. So I tell the person on my left, I'm terribly sorry, I'm slightly deaf in my left ear. And I turn to the person on my right and I said, I'm terribly sorry, I'm slightly deaf in my right ear. And I sat there thinking, OK, I've got out of that one. What do I do next? And I think I wanted to make a point. So I delved into my briefcase. During my serious phase, I carried a briefcase. I'm glad to say I no longer do. And I brought out the first book that happened to be there. And I didn't set it up, but it happened to be The Apology of Socrates in Ancient Greek. So I sat there painstakingly pretending to pick my way through a sentence or two. And after 10 minutes of this had gone by, I thought, well, I've come to the party and I don't like it. So I got up and I said, I do hope you'll excuse me. And I stormed out, briefcase and all. And that was the end of my attendance. And I left them to it. And though I say so myself, I think it was neither enriched nor impoverished by my departure. So I suppose if a party's going to be stilted and awkward and horrible and posh, then I don't want to be there.
Okay. What kind of party do you want to go to?
Ooh. Well, first of all, select few, quiet enough to hear people talking, with good food and good stories.
Okay. That's fair enough.
Yeah. Like a small dinner party.
A small dinner party would do it for you.
Where you don't have to whip out a philosophy book out of your briefcase to rev it up to 11. Let's get this party started. Socrates. Party animal.
Well, as far as my readings go, most times you have a small dinner party, the next thing happens, Miss Marple or Hercule Poirot turns up and somebody's dead in the corner. But that would be interesting in its own way. So let's go with the small dinner party.
Okay. We'll get you to a dinner party. Let's talk about weird contests, because yesterday myself and Graham We talked about weird contests and events that can go wrong. We spotted a few things online. The Elaine dance contest is big in the States, where women get up and do the Elaine dance from Seinfeld. It's big. Graham took part in a few of those iron stomach competitions.
Ooh.
No. Yeah, I think he drew the line when they tried to get him to eat a fish-soaked tampon, was it?
What?
Students.
To eat,
yeah.
To swallow it? But it would expand in your stomach.
Don't do it. It's extremely dangerous. Don't ever do it. Don't do that. Some fella downed a pint of his own sick, all that kind of stuff, for a 15-euro voucher. Martin, talk to me about your Karate Kid moment. What is this karate? Do you do karate?
So I used to, and it was great. For a start, it doesn't involve email, which is one massive plus that it has. So for a long time, karate was an important part of my life. I was never very good at it, and I didn't do the whole fighting side. There's this thing called katas, where you fight against an imaginary opponent. So going back to the ghosts earlier, you know, if ever a ghost were to show up, I'd be able to
kick his head in.
Deal with them. But time upon time, I used to be reasonably good at these kata-type things, and there was a competition. I must have been, I don't know, 12 or 13. And so my dad drove me down several hours down the motorway to go and take part in one of these competitions, which was a knockout thing. And I learnt a valuable lesson at this competition, which has stood me in good stead ever since, which is don't burn yourself out before the big event. Because there was, you know, 45 minutes to go before I was on, and so I sat there warming up and prancing around and doing my katas. So by the time the 45 minutes were up and it was my turn, I was confused, exhausted, not concentrated. So, it's you. What? So I went up and I gave a shoddy performance. I was knocked out in the first round. And ever since then, I've kind of learned to save myself up.
That's good advice. That is good advice before a big game, a big fight, a big competition. Yeah. It says here you're not a competitive guy.
No, I'm risk averse. I've never been on a roller coaster because
never.
Because statistically, I can't even say that.
Statistically. Yeah.
It'll fall apart.
It won't.
Or something. I don't know.
Statistically, it won't actually.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm a new dad and I'm thinking of, because my toddler's running around like a maniac. I'm thinking constantly he's gonna get into it.
But come here, or something. What happened when you ended up at a non-specific pumpkin-based event the other day?
Oh my God, yes. We went to, my wife bought tickets for, apparently there was a very good one in Meath, but we went to a different one in Meath, and it was just someone's farm that was like 50, 60% mud. They had like bobbing for apples, which was basically just apples in water in like a shallow, you know, like the top of one of those big blue
containers.
It was that on top of a rusty sort of thing. And kids were washing their muddy hands in it. And then Luke went to go bob for apples. I was like, no. And they had like plastic severed hands and feet hanging from chains.
Okay. I like this.
A little slide for a toddler. It was like Christmas and Halloween all in one.
It was a pumpkin picking.
There was pumpkins in a field on the way out, and I think very few people, they had expected more people to come, and they were basically like, take as many pumpkins as you want. And I wanted to take about four or five, but when I got three in the bag, I was like, this is about all I can carry. So I carved one pumpkin, and then the other two, I don't know what I'm going to do with them because I don't have like a hippopotamus to feed them to.
Make soup. Make pumpkin bread.
They're so annoying though because the seeds are all
gooey,
mixed in with the
stuff,
the pumpkin stuff. Because I've never even had a pumpkin spice latte. I've never even carved a pumpkin because it involves knives and I'm risk averse.
And you're so risk averse.
And I don't want to call on the spirits of the undead to come into my house.
You're not that risk averse if you're a stand-up comedian. Do you know what I mean?
Well, like that's risky that's business. That's controlled risk. That's where I am in control. Unless, which has happened in a few venues over the years, I've heard of people coming on stage and punching comedians in the face. That's never happened. Well, I've always been able to talk my way out of a
punch in the face.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll be trying to talk your way out of a punch in the face in your upcoming gig.
Oh, what a link. Yeah,
it was a mouthful. Go on.
A mouthful. I am gigging. I'm a sort of a residency in the Crack Den Comedy Club.
Deadly.
in the
Demo Clark's
in the Workman's.
Mm-hmm.
Demo Clark and Eddie Malarkey, who's the best named comedian who didn't have to change his name. So from the 14th of this month, which is a Tuesday,
yep,
to the 18th, which is a Saturday, I'm in the Crackdown every night.
Every night?
And I'm trying out loads of new stuff. I'm playing songs. I'm doing impressions.
Oh,
I'm so funny. Follow me on Instagram. I'm delicious. I'm stealing that from Garen, what's his name? You know your man from Mayo, who's all over the place now. Why am I plugging him?
Why are you plugging someone else? Ed Salmon. Go and follow him on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And
Kevin McGarren has a show
next
year in
about
Liberty Hall. He's my friend. Go see him. Hi,
go
Kev.
See comedy.
Go see
we
me.
We all need it at the moment. We need a bit of comedy.
100%.
And there's a lot happening around the country. So if you're looking for a good comedy gig, go to The Crackdown especially.
Oh, yes.
And The Crackdown. Does it have its own Instagram page or website?
Yes, crackdowncomedyclub.com.
There we go.
You can buy tickets. You can go on Instagram.
Yeah, go with
They've
your
got
mates.
A podcast. They've got a TV show.
Yeah, they've got
that
everything.
I'm not on.
You'll get there.
Maybe next season. Who knows? Yeah, it takes a while. There's a lot of other people who are deserving.
Crackdown. Go and check it out. Ed's going to be there for a long time.
A long time.
We'll
be living there.
Martin, how can listeners get free chocolate at TCD this weekend?
I was just thinking, actually, yes, if you want something which is even more fun than stand-up comedy, then you can come along to our open day tomorrow, running 10 till 5. And we'll be there, chocolates, stories, and opportunities to learn.
Okay.
I'd just like to add, I will be giving away free chocolates at my gig. So over to you, Addy. Can you top that? And a fiver will be taped to every chocolate bar.
Okay, listen, that is not going to happen, but...
I'm bankrupt.
comedians don't have the money to do that kind of stuff. Martin and Ed, thank you so much for being my friend.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.